Well, good morning and greetings to each one today. If you're here this morning like you are, this is what you said. This is your desire. This is what you were singing. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. I was just thinking about that song and kind of struck home. What this world needs today is more people who are out there want to be an instrument of peace. And may that be you, may that be me this morning, tomorrow, the rest of the week, the rest of the year. Think about that. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. The title of the message this morning is The Blessings of Obedience. The Blessings of Obedience. Does God ever withhold his blessings from us because of our daily deeds or our habits or our lifestyle? Or the question could be asked, is our normal routine of life hindering the flow of God's blessings to us? A few months ago, I got home. It was late one evening. It was raining, like the Lord had been blessing us very well with that. Praise the Lord. And I walked in the house, and the gutter's flowing over. Well, I'm sorry. I just can't have that. So ladder, headlight, umbrella. Can you picture this scene? Cleaning the helicopter, so to speak, off on the maple trees off the top of the gutter so the water could flow down through the gutter guard and over to the downspout. And got it. Headed back to the barn to put the stepladder away. And I looked up. Oh, no. The gutter in the barn's running over. Much higher elevation. Like I said, it was dark. Well, I'll just ignore that. It's fine. Like, nah, better not. So I grabbed the bigger ladder up there on the top. A car goes by. I don't want to know what they were thinking. But took the dirt from the downspout. Was clogged. Took it out. Everything was flowing properly again. And mission accomplished. But there were some things that were hindering the flow. And this morning we're looking at, or is there anything in our life that is hindering the flow of God's blessings to us? And then my mind went to what's going to happen tomorrow, according to the sign down here in 501, that I think is going to hinder everyone here this morning, is they're going to close 501 for a number of months, if I heard correctly, to fix the bridge. Hinder the flow of traffic. But back to the question, is there anything in our lives hindering the flow of God's blessings to us? I think it's safe to say that we are all scheduled and very well organized people. We plan our days, prefer structure while being flexible. We have daily routines and habits, but with that being said, we prefer to stay in our comfort zone. And daily routines and habits are not all wrong, obviously not referring to bad habits, but the question is, are we going through life or with a lifestyle that is causing God to put the blessings that he would like to give us on hold for time being? And there is a possibility, hopefully a great possibility, that your daily routine in life is well-pleasing to God. So there's the message title, The Blessing of Obedience, just 2 points this morning, the command and the result, and practical application. And I have one more question for you before we get started here. Who is listed in the faith chapter in Hebrews 11? There's 6 verses written about this man, but it's the same man that God withheld a blessing from. Thank you. Moses. Very good, Tony. And yes, there are 6 verses in Hebrews 11 about Moses. But let's take a few minutes and just to look at some of the accounts in his life that will clearly tell us that God was with Moses and God blessed Moses. And we know the story of him very well, studying about him in our Sunday school lesson right now. But go back to his birth. You remember his birth. And after he was born, the king commanded all the baby boys are to be killed. But his parents put him in a basket, floated him on the river. And who comes along and finds him? None other than the king's daughter. And she claimed Moses as her own. Moses was raised in the king's palace, preparing him for the rest of his life. Then we see him. Moses fled from Pharaoh after he killed the Egyptian, and he was a shepherd for 40 years. The stories continue. Moses talked with God at the burning bush. When Moses stopped to see why the bush, which was burning, was not consumed, And then there God asked him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Fast forward, Moses' rod becomes a serpent, and his hand becomes white with leprosy. And both of these happen when God was trying to convince Moses that, Moses, I want you to go lead my children of Israel out of Egypt. Then we find he finally agreed. We find him talking to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, he's asking Pharaoh, Pharaoh, lead the children of Israel, go. And Pharaoh said, not going to happen. And 10 plagues follow. We have the first one with water becomes blood. And just imagine the miraculous being that God was doing here. He was in control as he is today, but through the hand of Moses here. Frogs, the second one, lice, flies, death of the livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and then the death of the firstborn. And there we see how the Lord passed over the houses of the children of Israel because of the blood on the doorpost. Thus we have the Passover. As Moses led the children of Israel, the Lord was with them. He went ahead of them with a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Just miraculous things happening with Moses here as he's following God's leading. Then we get to the part where Moses held out his hand with the rod over the Red Sea, and the Lord parted the waters, and the children of Israel walked through on dry ground to escape the Egyptian army that we find there in Exodus 14. Later in Exodus 15, bitter waters are made sweet. We know the story well. And just looking at miraculous accounts that happened in the life of Moses, without a doubt, we see how God was with him and God was blessing him. Amazing things happening over and over again. We could call Moses God's right-hand man for many years. But as we'll see shortly, that there's something in his life that happened that God did not like, and God withheld a blessing from him. Moving on, the children of Israel become hungry, and that's a long story, but God told Moses, you know, I'm going to feed the children of Israel with manna in the morning and quail in the evening. And that happened for a long, long time, again, touching on a recent Sunday school lesson. Then the children of Israel become thirsty, and Moses strikes the rock in Horeb, and what happens? Water comes forth. Obviously, the mighty hand of God at work here, but we see Moses in the forefront following God's direction. Takes us to Exodus 17. We read about the account where Moses' hands are held up and the Amalekites are defeated. Another sign that God was with them. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Actually, he gave them twice in Exodus 20, which is an account we read quite often. Then also later in Exodus 34, because Moses broke the first tablet. So just imagine, pause there for a moment. Imagine being Moses, this great leader, taking instructions from God, at the same time being very, very meek and humble. We move to Exodus 34, and we see Moses' face shining after talking with God. And then we jump into number 20. And yes, we're going to go back to where we looked at last Sunday's Sunday school lesson. If you want to go to Numbers chapter 20. And last Sunday, we were looking at the discouragement of the children of Israel. But this morning, we're going to focus a little bit more on, from the same verses on obedience. And like I said, the blessings of obedience. In number 20, verse 1, we see Moses' sister Miriam died. And following that, verses 2 and so on, we find that the children of Israel are thirsty again. And let's read verses 2 through 5 from Numbers 20. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died with our brethren before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? Is there no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates? Neither is there any water to drink? So just put yourself in Moses' shoes here. And we find that the children of Israel, they complained and they rebelled against him. And the verses I read, the children of Israel, what they said, was not kind nor very gracious. But what we find afterwards is a proper response from Moses and Aaron in verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. You know, Moses and Aaron took their problem to the Lord, and the Lord answered. And then we see some instructions that the Lord gave in verses 7 and 8. Well, verse 7, the Lord spake unto Moses. And verse 8, we have the instruction. The Lord telling Moses, saying, take the rod and gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes. It shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. So here we see the instructions that we're talking about. Moses was given instructions. And the Lord said, Moses, take the rod. We discussed this in our Sunday school lesson this Sunday. Why did he ask him to take his rod with him? But he said, have the children of Israel gather around. He also noted, please make sure that Aaron is with you. And what I see here at the end of verse 8 is the Lord, can we say, setting up the stage for the children of Israel to see his power and his might and his strength. And just back up for a second. They're there. They came to Moses and Aaron, and they're complaining. And what they said was, yeah, why do you even bring us out of Egypt? Why do you just let us there in bondage? And we knew that was not what the Lord's plan was. But the Lord is setting up his stage to reveal to the people who he really is. And I just feel it's a big moment for the Lord in the lives of the children of Israel. The Lord wanted to show them who he was, try to make them see or understand that it's not a place to complain, but just to trust in the Lord. Stand by and get ready. The Lord's about to work in a mighty way. He gave Moses detailed instructions. Moses, I want the people close so they can witness what's about to happen and what I'm about to do. Moses, I want you to speak unto the rock that is here in front of the children of Israel. Just simply talk to this rock. And he told Moses what he's going to do. Moses, I'm going to bring water for the children of Israel and for their cattle. So we see obedience in verse 9 and the first half of verse 10. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered a congregation together before the rock. We'll have to stop right there. So here we see the Lord said, Moses, I want you to gather children close by, speak to the rock. And that's exactly what happened. Obedience. Moses and Aaron were following God's command. The stage was set. The Lord was ready to do his work and to bring water forth from a rock. I do have one more question for you here. I'd like to read a verse and ask you a question. Numbers 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses, which we're talking about this morning, was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Oh, quite a verse. Imagine that that was said about you. Put your name in there. But the question I have for you this morning, that was from Numbers 12. The question I have is, who wrote the book of Numbers? He did. And somebody had added that sometimes maybe people add, some other writers added to different things in the book. I thought that was kind of interesting that is said about him. But nonetheless, it was true, and it's quite a verse. But the definition for meek is humble and gentle. So with that in mind, let me read the rest of verse 10. This is what Moses said unto the children of Israel. Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch water out of this rock? So it's probably not where his reputation for being meek had come from. But it appears that Moses lost his focus for a few moments. He said, must we get water out of this rock for you? He's referring to Moses himself and his brother Aaron. And this comment was actually taking God out of the equation. It was like Moses putting himself ahead of God, claiming that he would have the strength and the power that was needed to get water out of the rock. And back in Horeb, God did tell Moses to strike the rock, and Moses did, and water came forth. Now here, Moses was told to speak to the rock, But instead, he struck the rock two times. Verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. And water came out of the rock abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. So we see the same result as what happened back in Horeb when he stroked the rock. Water came out. And mission was accomplished there as well. End of story? No. Look at verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses disobeyed and received a punishment. A few things to notice here, and that is that Moses was the one that hit the rock, but both him and Aaron are listed together there in verse 12 in the punishment. And the Lord said, Moses, because you did not believe in me, the brothers did not trust God, thinking it took the action of hitting the rock to get water, and also thinking that speaking to the rock would be insufficient, and thus displaying their lack of faith in God. And their action failed to represent God as the Holy One in the sight of the Israelites. Remember, all the Israelites were gathered close by there. And this is, they disobeyed God right there. And the punishment, Moses, you will not enter the promised land. Now, if you will, turn to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, I like to read verses 48 through 52. This is the end of the chapter there. And the Lord spake unto Moses the selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I shall give to Israel for a possession, and die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered together unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto this people, because you trespassed against the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctify me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Ye shall see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither into the land which I give unto the children of Israel. What we see here, the Lord saying, Moses, go up into this mountain and view or look at this beautiful land that I promised to give to the children of Israel. Take a good look. This is where the children of Israel are headed. But as for you, Moses, your time is up. Now is your time to die. Moses, you will not be allowed to enter Canaan land. And notice why. The Lord did not mention because you struck the rock twice. Moses, the reason is you trespassed against me among the children of Israel. Moses, you broke the faith with me in the midst of the children of Israel. Think of all the accounts that we looked over, how God was with and blessed Moses, and now we come to this point. And it's because, Moses, that you did not treat me as holy in the midst of the people. Basically, God was offended for what Moses had done here. The life-giving water flowing from the smitten rock has been compared to the life-giving blood flowing from the smitten Lord Jesus at Calvary. This was taken from our Sunday school book. When Moses struck the rock the second time, he barely marred the picture, since Christ was to be smitten or crucified only once. And we think, well, what's the difference, speaking to it or hitting it? But one mistake in the time when stress levels were running high and a punishment was given never to be changed. Back up a second and consider what we just looked at. Was Moses a great leader? And the answer I come up with is absolutely. Can you imagine doing what he did for that many years? Did God use his servant Moses in a mighty way? And again, the answer is the same, absolutely. But God did not cast Moses out of his sight forever, but God did withhold the blessing from Moses of allowing him to enter Canaan land. So what can we learn from this story here? And is that God requires obedience. So take a moment to go back again to the birth of Moses. The king's instructions were to kill him, but God wanted was with him from day one and protected him 120 years until the day he died. Deuteronomy 34:7, Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And I read that and say, well, he was basically would have been considered a teenager at that point in his life when he died at 120. What a man. God was with him. But during the time, stress levels were high, the people rebelling against him, saying, why did you bring us up here? In his frustration, and the punishment was leveled. Moses could have said to God, God, just, okay, I heard what you said, but just look at everything I did for you. God, I led this rebellious people for 40 years. Just allow me to step foot in the promised land. But God told Moses, Moses, you can look, but you cannot enter. And also I thought how Moses could almost be referred to as a miracle man for everything that he did. Although I point out God was with him and God was behind everything, in control as he is today. But God said, Moses, you're not going to enter Canaan because of your actions in a stressful situation. You know, very harsh punishment, but when God speaks, we need to listen. We could ask again, what can we learn here? That is that God delights in obedience. God delights in obedience. After the death of Moses, Joshua becomes a new leader, and miracles continue to follow over and over again as they carefully follow God's directions. They crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. They destroyed Jericho. How? By marching around the city exactly as God had told them to do. They followed God's directions to the T, and the city wall, these big, thick city walls, fell down. Does it make sense? It doesn't. But they were obedient to God, and look what God allowed to happen. In Joshua 6, verses 17 through 19, we see the city of Jericho was devoted to the Lord for destruction. The city was supposed to be completely destroyed, except for Rahab and those that were with her, and also the silver and gold, as you look at in verse 19, were to be taken into the treasury of the Lord. We know the story. Along comes the story of Achan. What did he do? He saw and he took. What was that? Complete disobedience to God's command. What was that result? 36 men died, plus Achan and his entire family were stoned. Achan took something that was dedicated to the Lord and paid a high price. God said, go destroy Jericho and take nothing except for a few things that I mentioned. Now we go to the very next city that was to be destroyed. That was the city of Ai. Chapter 8, verse 2. At this battle, they were allowed to take spoil from the city. They were to utterly destroy Jericho, but here at Ai, sure, help yourself to the spoil of the city, and you're not going to die. And I look at that, and I ask a question. Why did 36 families lose a loved one after Achan's sin, and now they're free to gather spoil from the next city and live? It's all okay. If you think about it in our thinking, human thinking, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Does it sound reasonable? Possibly not. But the answer I see here is because God said so. God said, destroy Jericho, you can take the spoil from Ai, and it's all good. We need to follow God's instructions. God blesses obedience. God blesses obedience. Moses withheld glory that was due to God, and punishment followed. Achan took something that was dedicated to the Lord and lost everything. God blesses obedience. As the song goes, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe doing exactly as the Lord commands and doing it happily. Point number two, a practical application. Back to the question, does God withhold blessings from us because of our daily deeds and actions or habits in our lifestyle? And what can we learn? Disobedience will affect those around us. Disobedience will affect those around us. The very thought that 36 innocent men died due to the disobedience of one man should rivet that fact in our minds, that disobedience will affect those around us. Also, secondly, God will not bless disobedience. Along with that, disobedience removes God's peace from us. You want to be an instrument of God's peace, as we were singing earlier? We need to be obedient to God. So think about, again, think about your daily deeds, your actions, habits, lifestyle, or even your reputation. Are we committing anything that will cause God to withhold his blessing? And a short list here, just think about these. Are we holding hard or bitter feelings towards someone? That will be like a bridge out in 501 or dirt in the gutter. Are we holding bitter feelings towards anyone? Are we listening to ungodly music? Music that God would not approve. If God would ride with you tomorrow on the way to work, would you have a different tune, a different station on if he was sitting beside you? By the way, he's there. He knows everything. Are we listening to ungodly music? Do we have the reputation of being an angry person? Was Moses struggling with anger when he struck the rock? What about unwholesome views on the internet? Is that hindering God's flow of blessing to us? Do we lack gratitude? The Bible tells us we're supposed to give thanks in everything. Are we lacking gratitude? Are we shortchanging God with our personal devotional time? If we don't have time for our quiet time with God, what is taking our time? What are we considering to be more important? How are we doing with our prayer time? Is God pleased with our time in communication with him? Are we pleasing God with our devotional time? And how are we spending our free time? And some of you are thinking, with young children, free? Explain that. But how are we spending our free time? Late nights alone with the phone or computer. Is God withholding his blessings from us because of our screen time? Technology is a big subject today. But how are we being obedient to God in that area as well? Are our actions hindering the flow of his blessings like dirt will in the gutters? And I'm not saying that every time something goes wrong, that's a sign, well, you've been disobedient. That's not my point. My point is, just ask yourself personally, is there anything in your life that God would frown upon, and he's saying, I can't bless you for that? These verses here in Deuteronomy 32, where you're turned to, is what inspired the message. And I think we would all agree that Moses was a great leader. I think we would all agree that Moses set a good example for us to follow. God led him as he led the children of Israel, and miracle after miracle followed. But God said, Moses, you know, you're going to die in this mountain because of your act of disobedience. And brothers and sisters, obedience to God is of utmost importance. When I read through this a while ago, I just noticed Moses was a great man. And if God said, all Moses did was swing his arm twice, and God said, you're not entering the promised land, which he led the children of Israel for 40 years towards, he said, no, you're not going there. So then I thought, what about my life? If God withheld a blessing from Moses for his disobedience, are we carefully following the Lord? And you might be thinking, Pastor, we're living in the day of grace. Amen, we are. But God forbid that we should live in sin because grace is abounding. The verse there in Romans. We can't go through saying, well, God's going to overlook that. God's going to forgive me. He does, absolutely. Amen. But let's not continue to be a habit or a daily lifestyle that continuing to sin. And we're talking about God withholding blessings, but let me add that the fact remains that God, the Lord, wants to bless his people. It's not his desire, it's not his will to withhold stuff from us. But the promise goes hand in hand. He will promise to bless if we promise to obey, and so on and so forth. Are we doing our part so that the Lord can do his? The desire of the Lord is to bless you. Are we living in obedience to his word? Are we men and women after God's own heart? Is our heartbeat in unison with the heartbeat of God? So take time to do a diligent search of your daily deeds and actions and habits and lifestyle, making sure that we're living pure and holy lives. This goes back a few months ago. I washed a vehicle. And then I took a synthetic clay bar over it, and wiped it dry the second time, then applied wax, and when that dried, I waxed it again. I wiped it off again. And when you take time to do this, what is revealed, and that I saw, is imperfections on the vehicle. And you try to remove each one if possible, you know, rubbing and wiping, hoping for a nice finished product. And that is the way we should be in our spiritual lives. We need to be striving for purity and perfection in the eyes of God. Well, it's hard to be perfect. Correct, it is. But we need to be striving for that. Our journey, as we go through life, we're on a journey. And we should be moving closer and closer and closer to God. Each and every day. Striving for purity and perfection. Our desire should be that when God looks down upon our lives, he will see a clean, spotless, pure heart, one that is free from all impurities. And you may wash your car every week if you feel this is necessary, but when you take the time to do that deep cleaning, you begin to remove the stubborn spots and stains. And so it is in our spiritual life. We need to take the time and ask God what we need to remove, what we need to clean up or wipe away in order to be pure in his sight. Or for the ladies, you might consider this process as house cleaning. You may dust your house, clean your house week after week and wash the floors, but possibly, I don't know, every year or so, you feel it's time for a deep house cleaning and more energy is applied to remove the stubborn spots and stains. And it's during these times that we get a closer look at the imperfections and we do what is necessary to remove or clean away what might have been there for too long, and the result is a clean product. And that's exactly what God desires to see from his children. Diligently, intentionally striving to be pure in his eyes. Got a number of questions here to get your mind thinking. Are we living with a pure heart? Are we people of integrity? Do we embrace godly living? Are we rejoicing in the faith that we found in Jesus Christ? Are we faithfully passing on the torch of faith? Diligently setting a good example for others to follow. Allowing our light to shine. Consistently being a godly leader. Women, are we the virtuous woman we read about in Proverbs 31? Are we searching, our eyes searching the skies for the Lord's return? Which would indicate that we're looking forward to that day as well. In closing, the Lord does not want to withhold his blessings from his children. He does not want to withhold them. He wants to pour them out upon us. So faithfully following God's commands will allow God to maintain his flow of blessings upon our lives. And when nothing is hindering the flow, we will experience the blessings of obedience. Let's pause for prayer. Lord, we come before you here this morning. So thankful, Lord, for your goodness to us. And thank you, Lord, for your promises in your word. You have promised over and over again you would be with us, you will watch over us, you will protect us and bless us. But help us, Lord, to be obedient. Lord, your blessings are there for us, and you want to pour them out upon us. We pray that would happen, God. We also pray that we could have pure lives that are spotless in your sight, God. Help us to clean up, wipe away, and take care of whatever the imperfections so that your blessings can flow, God. Give us wisdom and direction in this area of our lives, and may we be pure in heart. Thank you for each one this morning. Bless them abundantly, Lord, and be with us throughout this week. In your name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.